That's awesome. Good sweat you got going. That feels a lot better, doesn't it? I feel like myself again. I was just carrying such a burden. And it's just, I don't understand it all, but we don't have to understand it all. I just know that, like, God moved on our hearts, and that sound, he just wanted to hear that sound of groaning, and he's responding in some form. And I just embrace that, and I'm happy, because I just feel like that burden's lifted. I don't like the heavy stuff, you know. I love the joy, and I love the ecstasies, and I love the party, but sometimes we got to do, like, the business of the Father. Okay, I want to quickly talk about ecstasies and engage in the ecstatic realm of the kingdom, okay, of the Father. So I just want to say this. In 2 Corinthians 5:13, it says in the Mirror Translation, we are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our Maker. Your translation will say besides ourselves is the word ecstasis, which means to be thrown out of or transported out of your mind in a state of ecstasy, delight, or extreme happiness. The King James decided to translate that word beside yourself. Because that's been the thing with England, is restraining the ecstasy. Let's translate ecstasy into besides myself. I was besides myself, darling, in church today. But it's like, no, I wasn't besides myself, darling. I was standing outside of myself in ecstasy, and it was all God's fault. That's what Paul said. He says, if I am out of my mind, it says, if I am crazy, I'm reading different translations in my head. If these are wild words, it's because of God. Or another translation says, if I'm outside of myself in ecstasy, it's God. It's all God's fault. But if I'm sober, I'm doing it for you. If I'm sober or making plain sense, it's for your regard. But as for God, I'm outside of myself in ecstasy. So the Mirror Translation translates it this, we are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our Maker. God is looking to release David's tent. And David's tent isn't a collection of nice worship sets. David's tent was something that David saw in the Spirit, which was an ecstatic dimension of the oil and ecstasy, the vibration and symphony of heaven, that totally ripped through religion, and it was a communal union, an ecstatic community. So he went into the, he went and got the ark out of the tabernacle. You imagine that. They've got all their forms and methods, and then David comes along and swipes the thing. They carry on doing it. That's the amazing thing. They carried on doing it. He takes the ark and he puts it in a tent with over 3,000 full-time worshiping staff 24/7, and they do it for 33 years with a visible Shekinah, lightnings of God, and a symphonio and an orchestra of ecstasy. And he saw in spirit our day. How do we know that? Because when the Gentiles started getting saved and they had a council about it, they talked for days and they said, this is basically nothing less than David's fallen tent. David's fallen tent's back. It's that thing without rules, without regulations, where we see God, we see God, we see God, and there's a sound, a vibration, an energy, a symphonio, an ecstasis, ecstasis, ecstasis. And God is looking to restore the bliss. We are blissfully out of our minds with pleasure before our Maker. He delights in our ecstasy. And this is Paul's teaching I'm giving you. Paul said the ecstasy was for God, because God wants people that enjoy him. He doesn't want, he's not looking for servants. He's got a house full of servants already that do a cracking job, I'll have you know. They do a great job. You have a look at those angels and they function. They're on it, man. That's not what we were made for. We weren't made to be another group of angels. We were made for ecstasis, 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 ecstasy, ecstasy, ecstasis, out of my mind. Hey, 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 hey. And this is the bridal company. It says, our insane mode is between us and God. Whoa-hoo. In Jonathan Edwards' meetings in the Great Awakening in America, his wife would be so drunk they'd have to carry her out of the meeting. She would be out of her mind, and there would be whole groups of people. And some of the critics said this. They said they were more like a drunken brawl than the worshippers of God. So what the critics actually said was this. They said it's distemper. Distemper was a disease that gave dogs madness. Jonathan Edwards' response to this criticism of distemper was this. He says, if this is distemper, then I wish all the world be mad. I wish a madness on England right now. I wish a madness, a madness, a madness, a madness, a madness, ecstasis, ecstasis, ecstasis. Blissfully. For the love of Christ. And he said, why it happened? He says, if I'm out of my senses, as they say, it's between me and God. Are these wild things to say about selves? If so, it's to bring glory to God. If these are wild words, then take them as addressed to God, or sane sense and addressed to you. For the love of Christ overmasters me. It's the love of Christ that controls me. The love of Christ leaves me no choice. It's the compelling motive and spring of my every action. It hems me in and presses me in on every side, leaving me no options. Because we are convinced, I am convinced, the one has died for all. And he saw the crucifixion, the co-crucifixion, the co-crucifixion. He saw that God embraced his death as our death, that we were planted together into the likeness of his death. The one nail went between two hands, that his nail went through your hand and his, that I've already bear in my body the wounds, the marks. I already am marked and scourged because I was infused into him, into his cross, and planted into his death realm. That's where the record of Adam's fall ends and the human condition is dealt with. And from that was born kainos. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has already begun. And God came and introduced a new order, a brand new world, a kainos condition. And now we're in a discovery of what the implications are of what's ever happened. People are looking for a new wineskin. I tell you, a new wineskin's already been broken open 2,000 years ago. We were planted into his death and co-planted into his life. Whoa. This was the ecstasy of salvation that compelled these mad, mad disciples to take over the world, to storm every castle. Hey! Second Corinthians 5:21. He was disguised in our distorted image. He wore a distortion, marred with our iniquities. He took our sorrows, our pain, our shame to his grave and birthed. He birthed his righteousness in us. He took our sins and we became his innocence. Wow, innocence. Innocence in the courts. Innocence before God. Innocence before the earth. Colossians 1:21. Your indifferent mindsets alienated you from God. We were never God's enemy. It says we were enemies in our minds. God came into Eden when Adam fell. It wasn't God that hid. God isn't afraid of sin. God embraced us in our wickedness. He embraced us in our dirt. He scooped us up from the garbage dump and seated us with princes. And he wasn't afraid to be a friend of sinners. He wasn't afraid of the prostitutes. He wasn't afraid of the mess. It was your indifferent mindset that alienated you from God into a lifestyle of annoyance, hardships, and labors. God wants to take us out of labor. Labor is not Eden. Eden means bliss, pleasure, rest. We were planted into the garden of his rest. We were planted into the garden of his ecstasy. We were planted into his bliss. Eden means delight. It means pleasure. We were planted in pleasure, and that's where God wants us to come back into. He doesn't want this to be an era of annoyances, hardships, and labors. There was no sweat of the brow in Eden. We're coming back to ecstasies where there will be no sweat of the brow. It will not be our works, not I, but Christ. Woohoo! Shaka da ba da ba da ba. Yet now, here's the news. Okay, you had hardship, annoyance, labors. Yet now, he has fully, fully reconciled you and restored you to your original design. I'm reading from Colossians 1:21. You have been co-crucified. You have a tomb. You have a death. You have a burial already. Death owes you nothing. You've been co-planted into his death, but also co-planted into the likeness of his innocence and the original pattern. This is the unveiling of the pattern. Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? That's the question coming from heaven right now. He accomplished this in dying our death in the human body. He fully represented us in order to fully represent us again in blameless innocence. Face to face with God with no sense of guilt, suspicion, regret, or accusation, all charges against us are officially cancelled. We got to kill that religious hag. That religious hag, that religious doo-doo train that the church is on of efforts and Sunday meetings and methodologies and accountability. Woo! 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 He presented us again in blameless innocence face to face with God. I'm reading Bible, all the words I'm speaking of Bible, face to face with God. We're in mystic union, communion. We're in him. He's in us. We've got it. 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 Yay. Face to face with God with no sense of guilt, suspicion, regret, or accusation. All charges against us officially cancelled. He associated, this is the mystery, he associated us in Christ before the fall of the world. So when you eat the lamb, where do you go? He associated us in Christ before the fall of the world. Jesus is God's mind made up about us. He always knew in his love that he would present us again face to face in blameless innocence. He is the architect of our design. His heart dream realized our coming of age in Christ. His grace plan to be celebrated. He greatly endeared us in Christ. His love for his son, his love for us. Ephesians 1:4-6. His love for his son is his love for us. God is looking to get us whacked. Humans are made for whack. We're made for pleasure. We're made for pleasure. We're made for pleasure. We are made for pleasure. We are made to be standing outside of ourselves in ecstasy. God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him. He is the drink. He says, come and drink and feast. Feast. He hasn't called you to a fast. He's called you to a feast. The lamb has been slain, so let us keep the feast. He's looking for people with gravy chops. Lamb shank dripping with gravy. They will know we are Christians by the gravy. They will know that we are Christians by the creamy butterfat goodness of our Lord. The cream mustache. They will know we are Christians. Whoa, I'm preaching into the destiny of England because the hag is gone. It's gone. It's got to come off. We've been dragging the hag and drag with, you know, lipstick on her teeth around for too long. England's got to divorce the hag, and the divorce has already happened. It says when you were crucified with him, it says you divorced sin. You broke up. You've had a bad breakup. Just get over it. Move on. Delete the mobile phone number of sin. It's over. This was what, and this is the major thing. David got this before. It says in Psalm 32, David wrote these words. I'm reading it in the Moffat translation. Oh, the bliss. Whoa. Can I just say something? Every time the Bible says blessed, it means to be made blissful. So some translations say, oh, the bliss of the poor. Salvation bliss. Oh, the bliss of him whose guilt is pardoned. These are the words of Paul, of David. He got it. Oh, the bliss. 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 The bliss. You are kainos, you are not human, which means you're an alien. If you're weird, it's because you're not human. You're not human. You shouldn't act like your friends. They're humans. You've got human friends. You're not human. You're not English. You're not English. You're not male or female. You're kainos. You're something different. You're not even part of this time. David said, oh, the bliss of him whose guilt is pardoned and his sin is forgiven. Oh, the bliss of him whom the eternal has absolved. The eternal's absolved you, whose spirit has made full confession. Jesus has done it. I have been co-crucified together with Christ. Galatians 2:20. This we know, that our old self was nailed to the cross with him. The Weymouth translation, Romans 6:6. This we know. Do you know it? Do you know? I'm trying to explain the whole mystic realm to you, by the way. Do you get that? I'm taking you to the source. I'm not taking you to the processed baby milk. This is the breast. This is the real. This is the source. This is the creamy center of heaven's donuts. I'm taking you right in. This is the full El Shaddai manifestation, which religion can't take away from you. Prison can't take away from you. Ministry collapses can't take away from you. Folding up your church can't take it away, because it's an eternal condition of being united. United, infused. It's too late. It's too late. It's too late for you. Don't resist it anymore. Jesus said, I came, all right, just in case you guys don't know why I'm on the planet. I came to my joy, which is like awesome joy, because I'm God. And it's really cool being God, right? So I'm like full of cool joy, because I am like so happy being God. It's the best thing. And I came that my joy would be in you. And it would be complete and overflowing, uncontainable. So Jesus wants to break out of you. You're God's prison right now. God is going to do a jailbreak in England. God is going to do a jailbreak out of you at any time. Paul put it like this. I know a man who was hijacked into paradise. Hijackings are coming. You might be in work. You might be in Starbucks. You don't know when it's going to happen. Hijack you into paradise, and all you can say is all God's fault. It's God's fault. It's God's fault. Yeah. Yeah. Whoa. What actually took place was this, Galatians 2:19. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. You're supposed to enjoy him. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. I died, Galatians 2:20, in the Cotton Patch translation, I died so I could be alive towards God. I was strung up with him. Wow. Strung up with him. I was strung up. I'm no longer alive. It is Christ who lives in me. This physical life which I now have is simply an expression of my faith in God's Son, who loved me and gave himself for me. I dare not reject God's unmerited favor. Galatians 2:19, mirror. My co-crucifixion with Christ is valid. I'm not making this up. In his death, I died to the old system of trying to please God with my own good behavior. God made me alive together with Christ. How can any human effort improve on this? The terms co-crucified and co-alive defines me now. Christ in me and I in him. Wow. So what are you going to do about it? Just a thought. What are you going to do about this? You have got God. What are you going to do with this? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? So the mystics or the ecstatics were the ones that knew how to enjoy him. They knew how to enjoy him. They knew that sin was done away with, that they broke up, that the body of sin may be done away with. We no longer need be slave to sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. It's like a marriage. You know when you're dead, you're not married. Get over it. Move on. Leave the hag. Stop dragging it round with you. You little three-legged lamb with one eye. Rib showing. Jesus doesn't want your sacrifice. He wants you to eat his sacrifice. He wants you to feast your way through England's fair green land. What's wrong with you? I'm not human. When we've seen God break out on the streets, they love it. They love it. They're not looking for a system. The system died on the cross. The system's over. He didn't come to announce a new religion. He came to announce the end of religion. We perceive, this is Romans 6:6, that our old lifestyle was co-crucified together with him. This concludes the vehicle that accommodated sin in us. It was scrapped and rendered entirely useless. It's useless. It's like a car crash. You can't do anything with it. It's not going to take you anywhere anymore. It's over. You just give it to the scrapyard and you leave it. Sin cannot find any expression in a corpse. You getting this? Could it be any clearer? Message translation. Could it be any clearer? Our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ. A decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer it sins every beck and call. What we believe is this. What we believe is this. If we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. There is an uncontrollable wildfire coming. Just deal with it. Get into his ecstasy. Let him hijack you. Give up the control. Your control. Your thinking. Your alienation. Your frustrations. Your lack of enjoying him. Give it up. Count it as dead. I consider it as having died. And now I'm enjoying a new existence. Are you enjoying your new existence? I mean, how much are you enjoying it? You have a capacity for whack that is off the charts. I mean, you have got a capacity for joy that is beyond your wildest dreams. You are hardwired for it. Hardwired for John 10:10. Life and life more abundantly. And God's looking for a testimony on the earth that matches what's in his heart. If you don't want it, we'll have it. Wales. I mean it. We are going to see David's tent, because I've seen the blueprint and I have seen that there's a generation coming on the earth now where church as we've known it is over, and he is raising up David's fallen tent, and he took me into the spirit and he showed me this gathering of hundreds of people, and the worship was in the middle. For 2 hours they were in ecstasy. Just everyone was caught up together in a corporate dimension of trance, in a corporate dimension of ecstasy, and they were covered in oil. They were dripping with oil. They were dripping with oil. They were dripping with oil, and they were covered in the oil of unity, the oil of unity from the canopy of his glory that was raining down on them, and they were coming out of the overshadowing, and they were influencing every part of culture and society, covered in oil. All friction had gone. All competition had gone. Where there had been friction in the past, now they were rubbing up against each other and saying, I feel good. the oily ones are coming. The oily ones are coming. They're awake. I don't want to be a sleepy virgin that's got oil and not getting whacked off the oil. I want to be awake. I want to be alive. I want to be moving in the spirit and out of the spirit. I want to know what my Father's doing. I want to be full. Because his desire is that we would be fully filled and flooded with God himself. Ephesians in the Amplified. That he wants us to be fully filled and flooded with God himself. That you are God. You are so full of God. That it's not I but Christ. The oracles are coming. The oracles are coming where they will speak a definitive word. With a breath. They will hold everyone in awed attention. The ecstasies of God is where you belong. It's Eden. He's planted you back into Eden. And he's looking right now for what we're going to do about it. He's looking to see. Yay! Will he find believing believers that believe the gospel that he has fully sanctified us of himself? That he himself prepared the lamb. He himself prepares the feast. That, oh yeah, blah, 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 blah. We know this, that when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was the signal of the end of death as the end. Did you hear that? Never again will death have the last word. When Jesus died, he took sin down with him. From now on, think of it this way. Sin speaks a dead language that means nothing to you. It's Latin. Sin is Latin. Whoa. And now we are kinos. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're coming back to what I was talking about. If any man is in union with Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new being, a new person altogether. He is in a new world. The old life, the old order has finished and gone. Look, the new has arrived. We left the old. Romans 6:3, we left the old country of sin behind. We entered into the new country of grace, a new life in a new land. It's time to show heaven's real. Rick Joyner had an encounter with Enoch and the Lord said that the purpose of every movement was to show earth that heaven was real, but no movement ever achieved it. But there's a movement being released now. That is going to show the world. It's not going to set up a new stream. It's going to show the reality of heaven. And the Lord spoke to Rick Jordan and said, there's a company being raised up that will, though they'll be on the earth, they will always be seeing my face. By location, multi-location, I am co-crucified with Christ. You are seated somewhere. You are seated somewhere. You are seated somewhere. And Colossians 3:10 says this, we stand fully identified in the new creation. I'm preaching Paul's gospel. We stand fully identified in the new creation. You've got to get this. This is the Reformation. This is the sound that's coming. We have got to get religion out, man. Religion. This is the battle we've all got to fight. The future belongs to the courageous. If we want to get free, if England's going to get free, it's got to get free from religion. The structure of accountability and who's who and who's you're covering. I tell you, you're covered. You're covered by heaven. Heaven's your covering. Heaven's your covering. You've got a family. One family in heaven and earth. You've got governors and tutors. You've got a covering. You're under the wing. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Who dwells under the covering of his wings. In any case, when they say about accountability, it's an illusion because often they're not even accountable. A friend of mine was just asked, challenged for months on who his accountability was. So he joined a church. Within a week of joining this very big and successful church, the pastor's out because he was having an affair. And he was the one that said, who's your accountability? It's an illusion. The system is an illusion. There is a covering. There is an accountability. There is a growing up into the head. Not growing up into a system, because the head that you come under is the height that you'll grow to. Bam! Colossians says this, in light of your co-inclusion in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before In Christ, you're a brand new person. The old way of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new. We have got to get acquainted with what it means to be a new creation, with being a multidimensional, time-traveling, multi-locational, infused in the knowledge of God, explorer of mysteries, cosmic being. All of the things that we define ourselves by are all the infancy. The gifts of the Spirit were for the infant church that had just been born. But God has saved the best to last. It says, in the end, in the end, in the end, you will arise and shine with a transcendent light that emanates from the glistening of your glory, which will be an outrain of my brilliance, from the infusion that you have in me. I don't need an outpouring. I went to Lakeland years ago, and I was in my third year being in ecstatic encounters and in the ecstasies of God, where I'd seen hundreds of people get saved on the streets by just being so full of his presence. Three times I had people walk up to me and say, I want what you've got. Because I was just enjoying a new existence. I had centered on his presence. I'm in you, you're in me. Going about my daily business. I'd have mad stuff happen. My wife and I were in Topshop, and I was whacked, and I was just enjoying. We were laughing. Rachel's used to it. I was leaning on Rach. We came out, and outside we were all these people, and a taxi pulled up, and a dog ran out, and there was this, like, disabled guy, and his dog, little dog Benji, ran out, and he was shouting, like, Benji, Benji, and it was, like, running as fast as it could. I was whacked. I just came out and went, Benji! It froze and went on its belly like that. And all the people applauded. I'm not kidding you. 11 or 12 people were clapping. And Benji was paralyzed, going like that. The guy came out of the taxi. He, like, looked at me like, what is wrong with you? Picked up Benji like, what? We're going to be crazy. We're going to be crazy. I was just with a guy for a week in New Zealand, Mark, and he said one time he was out and contemplating God's destiny for him, and he was walking past a field with a horse, and he began to hear the horse's thoughts, and then actually spoke to him through its mouth and gave him a prophetic word about what he was contemplating. He talks to the animals. We've got to really be out of our minds. This is what Paul said. If I'm out of my mind, it's God's fault. If I'm crazy. We've got to get crazy now, people. We want it. We want Europe's day. It's not coming through namby-pamby, pussy-footing, lukewarm, apathetic religion. Just let it die. Just let it die. It's over. There's a brand new era coming on the earth. Don't try and resuscitate it. Give up. Give up. I gave up trying to change church a long time ago. It's the best decision I ever made. And now I'm enjoying a new existence. It's like I'm on a holiday, a permanent holiday in the creamy, buttery, fatty, fatty gospel of Jesus Christ. No one can take it away from me. That's what John had on the Isle of Patmos. He's like, he's on a prison island with nothing. And he's like, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And I hear the voice, and I'm like, I just turned inside myself. It's like, oh. And he was there with his eyes on fire and his white hair. And I was like, oh, and he said, come up here. And then he traveled through time and space. I want the spacey gospel, the spacey. I want to be like Paul and Silas in the jail where they're like so whacked. It's 12 o'clock at night. No one can sleep because they're like Carl. They're going, we think they're singing little hymns. No, this was Paul. If I'm outside of myself, if I'm mad, it's because of God. Paul and Silas are like, shack out, bang, you bang, you bang, bang, bang. It says no one could sleep. No one could sleep because these two madmen. We're reading the Bible wrong. Paul was so carefree because he knew he was invincible until he went to Rome. It says they stoned him, so he just lied on the floor. It says when they left, he got up and said, let's go, guys. I mean, Paul was invincible. Do you know what that is? He couldn't die until it was time. His joy is now your joy. His holiness is now your joy, your holiness. His purity is now your purity. His love is now your love. His peace is now your peace. His calling is now your calling. His dignity is now your dignity. Colossians 3 says this: the secret of your life now is that the fact that you are wrapped up with Christ in God. Romans 8:30, and those he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and conditional state of being. You've been raised to a heavenly dignity. Can you handle it? Can you handle it? One of the translations says that Paul, when he explained it, he said, the love of Christ vibrates within us. That's the sound of the gospel. That's the resonance, the frequency of what's coming. Like dawn light, it says, they will appear. And they will say, who are these that appear like the dawn? Fairer than the moon, brighter than the sun. The system can't contain what's coming. We're in forced change. It's over. No church is fit for the future. So get over it, get over it, get over it, because he's building his ecclesia. And it says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a prevailing, overcoming bride that's going to be so jacked up on heaven. Whoa. I'm not waiting for it to happen because I'm a time traveler. I can choose which era I live out of. I'm doing a David on you. I'm living out of that ecstasy. You might be in 2014. I'm not. Ring out the wild bells to the wild skies. I've seen the future of these islands. I've seen Europe's day. Hey, have you seen the harvest that's coming? The harvest that's coming is beyond any comprehension that we have right now of how God's going to move. I mean, God's going to blur the boundary between heaven and earth. It will be as normal to talk to an angel as it is to your friends, because there'll be one body, the cloud of witnesses. Jesus himself will appear. In fact, this is going to shock you. God's pre-resurrecting people so they can come back. Just get over it. There's no rule that says you have to wait till a resurrection for a resurrection. How do I know that? Because when Jesus died, it says he cracked open the tombs and many saints were resurrected. The resurrection's already started for some people. There's a whole group of them wandering around. Guess who's coming to dinner? I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I'll come in and eat. Woo-wee. Okay, I'm going to finish this. We're coming into crazy days. If you can't handle me, if you can't handle Justin, you can't handle God. You can't handle God. If I'm too much for you, just let it happen, because there's someone far worse, far more glorious, far more crazy. And he is going to use your suit. He's going to use his Ian suit. He's going to use his Carl suit. He's going to use his Millie suit. And he's going to hijack your body. Whoa. And that is mystic union. That's what he died for, that we are the temple of the Holy One. We are the temple of the Eternal. And what's coming on the earth is unstoppable. You can get offended at Ian's doctrine, get offended at mine. It doesn't matter. You're going to get offended. Just get offended and get it over with. We are all in the same boat here, people. None of us have got any idea how to handle this. I don't even try to work it out anymore. So just get over it. You're all going to be offended. You're all going to be shocked. So you may as well enjoy it. So let us keep the feast. Let us keep the feast.